Greetings, this is James Gillen with Edgewood Talk Radio on the DBS Radio Network. We've got a very interesting thing happening here at the ranch. We've got Clyde Lewis of Ground Zero and his group here, along with a few other people. And it has just been crazy the past few nights. We have had so much UFO activity, and we've had the mountain lighting up, and just all kinds of paranormal photos being taken. But they put on quite a show the past couple nights. And without further ado, I want to introduce Clyde, and welcome Clyde to the show. Clyde, are you with us?
Yes, thank you. I'm glad to be here. I come here every year. The reason why I come here every year is it's a beautiful place to be. The spirit is excellent. I love the spirit that I feel when I'm here. In fact, it's a healing exercise up here as well. Many people who come here always feel like they're healed, and they feel much better after they're here for a while. I know the heat is taking so on us all, but you know, when it's cooler and the sun goes down and the stars come up, we have been seeing some remarkable things in the sky above Mount Adams here in at East City. And as I said before, every year is an experience, because every year is something new happens in the sky. I remember the first time I came here, I didn't expect anything. I saw my first black triangle flying near this field that had taken off on its own. There was actually a strange noise that came out of the mountain when this thing took off. It was so low frequency that I had to actually hold my ear. You know how you feel when you go into it? Well, it used to be for us old timers. We used to go into like a Kmart or an electronics area of Kmart, and you hear that high pitched squeal in the TV. Anybody who experienced that when they were young? I used to hate going into the store because I could hear those high pitched sounds coming out of the television system. Those tubes were making those noises. Now they don't make those noises anymore. That's exactly how I felt when I saw my first flying triangle here at East Eddy. And then, of course, how many people here have experienced this feeling of your brain feeling like perky and then low, and perky and then low again? My friends, now you and a few others, those are downloads, believe it or not. Information is being downloaded to you while you're here. And I know that sounds bizarre, but many people who I brought up here have received these downloads. Sometimes they're emotional experiences. They cry. They feel like, you know, they feel overjoyed or sometimes over-energized. And so some of these things happen here, and it's all part of the, I guess you call them vibe, this place is off and question every year.
Yeah, thanks, Blake. What I want to do is, I know maybe we might be able to twist Clyde's arm and get him to tell that as a Bigfoot story here that he had a while back. I'm not sure when was that?
It was last year.
Yeah, last year.
Last year. Last year. It's such a funny story, and I told it on the air here. There's such a disappointment in seeing Bigfoot and not being able to produce any evidence of the thing. What has happened is we had some fires, like this year, fires have been burning over here near the mountain, and now they have them like 90% contained or whatever. And there were a number of people who were investigators who were saying to me, did you notice that there's some weird things going on near the mountain? What kind of weird things? Well, we saw these figures. We don't know what they are. And so, you see Bigfoot? And so we're kind of like thinking about that. And then my friend Roger's girlfriend was here. And she was near the yurt out there. And she saw something come towards her. And this deer jumped over her. She's about 6'1". Jumped about 6 feet over her. And she said she saw something dark in the night. Well, I'm thinking, okay, everybody's like seeing bumps and whatever. The next morning, I'm awake, and people who know me know that I'm pretty much surly when I wake up in the morning. And I'm like, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like going around, blah, blah, blah. Morning, Clyde. Hey, Clyde, love your show. I go into this area here where the pyramid is, right? And I'm going, coffee. So they give me coffee, and I'm sitting there on the chair, and I'm drinking coffee, and talking about what I usually talk about, and it's this. All of a sudden, I see this thing walk by, or run by, actually, and I look up and I go, Bigfoot! Bigfoot! I said, Bigfoot! And I got up. It's hard for me to get up because I have my legs too soft to my surgery. So I'm getting up, and I'm going to the door, and I can't keep up with this thing. But everybody else is like running after it, they can't keep up with it. And I said, you saw a Bigfoot? I go, yeah, I saw a Bigfoot. And it looked like it had long brown hair, and it had like a Facebook, it was hit by a shovel. And I saw it, I saw it. It was eating fruit in the orchard. And then after I said it, I was done calming down, I went, damn. And it was, what's wrong? I go, I saw Bigfoot. I was then going, okay, why are you disappointed? Because I'm going to go to work tomorrow. I'm going to get on the air, I'm going to tell everybody I saw Bigfoot. They're going to say I'm full of crap. And they did. And I got a lot of crap. But you know what? I saw Bigfoot here at this place. And it wasn't until I saw James at McMinnville's UFO Festival that he says, not to worry, Clyde, we found the evidence of the Bigfoot. And sure enough, he brought me this picture of a big old foot. It was the one that we saw. It was embedded in the pathway. It was running through the orchard. So I was vindicated. The Bigfoot foot that we saw was taken. The picture was taken. It looks remarkable. And now I have a proof of Bigfoot, at least here. And so I was really happy about it. Because, I mean, you know, this is Skamania County, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's Bigfoot territory. So here in Skamania County, I mean, I realized, oh, Skamania, I know that place. You can't have a Bigfoot here. You can't have a Bigfoot here. You can't make these commercials here. So you know how it goes. So it was remarkable seeing a Bigfoot here at this place. You see all kinds of cool things here. Experience all these interesting things, too. So, I mean, for those of you that have, you know, your magical experiences here, there's always something new and interesting to find here.
I know there were a couple other witnesses, and I know I came around the corner right after it happened, and I saw it running down the path, and the weird thing is that path had branches going across it, big apple tree branches, and when the little big thing, we know his name actually, Balaki. When he ran down that path, he didn't move the branches, and that, when I saw that, I said, wait a second. How can you go down that path and not move those branches out of the way and disrupt the tree? And my only solution to that is that he's not quite physical. At that time, he was moving out, you know, and just getting ready to shape shift or disappear or whatever. But he was probably going into one of his bilocation phases or something. But I've seen that. I've had about four encounters at least with Bigfoot. And I've seen them phase out right in front of me. I saw a female. I saw she had breasts, and she was very upset because she lost her daughter. At the time, I had a remote viewer look at it, and he gave me detailed information about it. I saw a male once, and that made sure that we did not get into the territory. He was stomping and grunting and breaking branches, and the hair on your arms stood up. And you can basically feel this energy being admitted to you that just do not go there. You know, you do not come in past this point. And we're in a canoe out of a lake. I won't say where because that's the territory. But we just like turned the canoe around and not sailed it out of there. And when boulders come flying at us or something, but mostly they're very curious, they're friendly, they won't harm anybody unless you mess with them. You know, like the teacher, don't mess with that place.
Right.
Might have an experience.
Well, I mean, the whole night for the Bigfoot sighting, a lot of strange things that people reported. I heard something that sounded like laughing in my window. And I don't know how many of you have actually heard of Bigfoot. There are a number of places on the internet that I guess they purport to have recordings of Bigfoot or Yeti. And if you listen closely to a Bigfoot, you hear this, and they sound like Chinese fishermen speaking to one another. And sometimes when they talk, they go, bum, 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 bum. They whistle, they go, bum, 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 bum. It's something they're laughing. And many times we've heard the wild moan on several night shows of Bigfoot. But when Bigfoot's not moaning, I mean, that's the thing, Bigfoot doesn't moan all the time. I mean, it's not like he's walking around to the back and going, "Aah!" It's not Bigfoot. Bigfoot talks to you, and he whistles at you.
Yeah.
And so I was in my bedroom one night, and I said, when I woke up in the morning, I said, I heard something. It sounded like it was laughing near my window. And it went, "Aah, aah, 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 aah," like that. And I never heard anything like that before. And I said, did anybody hear that? Anybody hear that? Nobody heard it. And I think it's because the Loki was hanging around. And it was late at night, and he was making his noises, and he was going through the orchard. I think it was some rare choice, rare chance. So we saw this thing standing in the orchard and then running away the minute he was staring at him. I mean, I yelled. That's the first time I ever seen a Bigfoot. I didn't see a Bigfoot in my life. And I yelled, Bigfoot! I said, Bigfoot! And I get up and I run out there, and James is running, and everybody's like running to find it, and they chase it up to the towards the way that pack goes, and he just disappeared. Couldn't find him. But they saw him, and we saw him as he was running away, and we had to think that he went in, and the way he ran is he ran, and then what happened is something twisted his footing, because the way the imprint went, it went inward with the ball of the foot going into the mud, and then he got his footing again and started running regularly. So whatever happened, he jumped, had his footing, moved the ball into the footprint, and then ran off as good as he could. But he darted pretty damn fast. He really did.
Yeah, we've got some, I don't know if it's maybe Chris Joseph on here. We've got Chief Joseph in the back there, and I'd love to hear he's had several encounters here with Bigfoot. Maybe we can bring him up to the front and hear his story. But there's been so many encounters here, not just Bigfoot, but we've had masters here in the field. We've got photographs of them in the field of dreams, the ship, you name it. I mean, orbs, everything's going on. But there's been Joseph on here, and then he's got some good story about some of the Bigfoot he's experienced.
Also, there is through all kinds of elemental Bigfoot. So, the principle of it, including Gabe, is he's experiencing it. A lot of times, Gabe can telepathy, as you can use, so that's why I think it is just hardly using that, and that's why it's being heard. And you can do that mind thing about every 5 miles away. They're all different, but you have to 5 miles. And you can use your heart so you can share it and see it. Right? If your antenna is running up and down, you're not going to see them. They're not going to contact you unless they want to contact you. And all of your shape, that you're okay. And that's what you want to know. We're around the greenhouse, up to see if they find it right in front of that building. And I think I talked to Brady about that. And so I went around and taking the laundry out. And when I get to the door, bounce back, and then the thing just knocked me over, and was ready to play back through the door, and then got another side of the door, so this is the thing, 90 feet tall, this bar is going to be about to see, I can see it, and it was pre-colored, and ran over me, I thought it was going to die, I thought it was going to die, it was really bad, but I don't know what I did, and so somehow, I'm sort of listening and looking at the laundry room, right? I was curious. And the only thing that the length of paper like that is if it's occupied or if it's in areas that were a little burned to me. So, but knowing you don't know where you're at, and then you stay away from those people because they know they're sure people don't want that for the first time to do. And then you can tell them, but they have like 7 different levels. One can get either like down to mine is the green color all the way down to black. And the left color, I'm not saying they will, much more sophisticated. And it is more. So if you can look in the park, all of these that are out there, you probably need to really know about. If you're in contact, not an hour, I mean, people have seen these studies on the field. So, same thing with connect out there. If you're in fighting mode, so they're up here, we're down here, and they're not going to come to use that way. You can try to do that, too. You can run. Okay, that's fine. But part of it is you've got to be serious with something here, and then, well, I am kind of doing whatever. So for me, from that way, then they'll make the effort to do that, too. But interesting, lots of women, especially, see a man pulling out from the tree, not too far away, and after the initial shot, so. So you all kinds of stuff going on. He shared a lot. He has a call.
Yeah.
We know a lot of the owls around and the different kind of owls and the sunlight. So all kinds of stuff going on. So be aware. Okay?
Yeah, be aware of the sound and stuff. Yeah, hear those when they're around.
Yeah, we had a nice little bonfire going out there. We had a lot of people with different instruments, and some people brought some instruments from Israel, from just all kinds of different instruments, and drums and flutes, and having a really nice little musical session out there. And all of a sudden, I look over and I see this one, campfire, lighting it up, and it's leaning up against the tree and just listening to it. And it's the smaller one, the juvenile one, comes around. And this other guy looks over and sees it, and I mean, I can't even say on the air what he said, but he said, he was so shocked, he was it's a bear, he thought it was a bear at first, and basically just freaked out, and the thing just kind of rolled around the tree and disappeared. But it was hilarious watching people's reactions to the phenomenon that are happening here on a regular basis.
It's amazing what everybody interprets and what they feel. And it's interesting to watch reactions. Sometimes people come here and they can't take it, and they're like feeling this overwhelming anxiousness. Sometimes people come here and they feel more mellow, they feel like they want to relax and take some time off. I'm so used to it. Like, if I really first got here this time, I was really taking in the air because, I don't know, last year, Labor Day, I was admitted to the hospital with 5 embolisms attacked by lungs. And I was in the hospital, and they didn't give me very much time. They thought I was going to die. And they told my buddy Roger that he wasn't still walking, he wasn't still getting around. And this year, I'm noticing that my air breathing in is a lot better than it is usually, being able to breathe and being able to. Sometimes for me, breathing is hard. And it's getting better because when I'm after a year of not having, my lungs filled, every note in my lung was filled with blood when I had the operation, I had the problem. And they're wondering, because they told me that I should have drowned in my own blood when it happened, but I didn't. I was able to survive for some reason, and I did. But, breathing after that whole ordeal is hard to do. And you have to really take some time and try to get oxygen to your blood. And it's been very difficult for me. Oxygen to your leg, that's why sometimes it's hard for me to stand up. Other times it's easy for me. I sometimes get oxygen, sometimes jump it up here this week. This week, and I've been able to get blood and get the oxygen flow at least to parts of my body that I haven't been able to get it to lately. So I'm feeling really good. I mean, I have my moments, but I'm still feeling good. And also, my friend's son has a friend. Named Mitch, who came here, who's on a cane, and for a while now, he hasn't been using canes since he's been up here. So, this is a human place. It's really a place to heal. It's a place to, open yourself up to beings you never knew who are out there looking after you. It's time to have a sense of brotherhood and love and appreciation for what is out there in the wilderness and the forest. Sure, we have light ships fly overhead every night, and it just, for some reason, I feel very safe when I see them in the south. I feel like that they're watching over this place, and that they're watching over us, and they're like, it's like watching a fireworks display, because they know that we enjoy it, and they know they want to give it to us and show us everything. So it's really a remarkable experience.
And again, this is James Dillon, who I live, and we're broadcasting live from the East Bay Ranch, and we're in that beautiful conference room that so many of you have been in before, so you can tap into the energy here and have a little fireside chat with us. There's so much going on. What I'd love to do is, how many people in the audience were here last night? Quite a few. How many people had some pretty amazing sightings, a shift that you would? How many people want to come up and talk about what you thought?
Yeah, we'd love to hear some people talk about it. I mean, that's the thing. If you want to testify, witness, come up here.
Yeah, because we'd like to just get random people out of the audience to come up and just talk about what they've seen up here and get different perspectives on them. So here's our random person, number one, going through the show. And this is Frank, you've been here before, but I'd love to get your take on what you saw. The guy, you're here the next door, last street. Yeah, you saw this big tree came in. Yeah, so I'd love to get your take on the past couple months and what we experienced here.
Well, I've been to the Rangers three times finding this time now, and I've never been disappointed. I mean, when you go out to the field, it's an amazing experience to look up and see the light ships flying over your head. And there's a vibe in the field where everybody can't even catch you. And because you're making contact, you know, with these bees who are eager for us all the way up. And that's the feeling I get when I look up there, and I feel a feeling of love that they fly over. You know, they're just kind of sending down the love vibration. And it's so amazing that they power up and they get real bright. And they sometimes they split around, but I've never been disappointed. I look forward to coming here, and I know what I do. It's going to be a wonderful experience.
Yeah, let's talk about the three that you saw, but give a description of
it. Well, I went to the nest, and then later on, I went out late, and I saw three ships coming in. They looked like they were in formation. And then, and they started moving around and interacting with each other. It looked like they were moving around. I mean, like they were going to crash, and then they didn't. And it was just so amazing. You can tell that they're letting you know that they're intelligent. You know, it's not a meteor going across the sky. And it was just so amazing. You see them come in formation like that, and when they're moving around, and it's just amazing. I mean, you just can't even describe the wonderful feeling that you get. If you're open to it.
How many ships do you think you saw?
I saw at least 20 ships in the last few nights. At least, if not more. And a lot of times, ships will be three and four and five all at the same time. And they'll all keep going different directions. And it's just a lot of activity going on. Very, very, I mean, it's just amazing, you know. I don't need a lot of money, so I've saved up my money all year to come here, and I was really looking forward to it because I've had some other experiences. I've connected with a being called Bucky, and she is a six-dimensional feline being, so I'm serious. And I had this experience before I ever met you. I connected. I watched a video that James was talking about Bucky, and he said, you want to connect with her. Be your heart, open your heart, and you might be able to serve the world. I did. So it's an amazing experience. I've been here for 4 years. But I actually made a connection with one of these beings. I mean, it opened up my life and opened up my heart. And I've never been the same since.
Thank you, Ryan and Kristen.
Frank's been here 2-3 years. It was funny that. For those of you that in the audience, the listening audience, you couldn't see, but we have a large room full of people here. We talked about how many people have seen ships, and almost everybody raised their hand here. And how many people have had a couple of nights, both of raising hands. All right, then how many people want to talk about it? Come up on the air. Nobody raised their hand. And Frank came up. And, you know, that's something really interesting. If we need to look at that. Like, why are we afraid to come forward and talk about this thing? Maybe. Have you got any insights on that? Or
I have.
You can go for it.
It's called Facebook. It's called Twitter. How many people have blogs that hate telling stories on Twitter and Facebook? That's a whole weird day. So, I've been doing this for 20 years, and, you know, it used to be, you say to somebody, look how wonderful this is. Something. Yes, sorry, it goes, vague. Why is it vague? Vague. Well, explain to me.
Vague.
Yeah, what? What are you talking about?
Vague.
Stop it, or I'll kill you.
Vague.
And you get so angry because you're saying, well, why do you feel it's vague? Please explain to me what you feel is
vague.
And they keep doing it. And I just decided that what I do with people now that just come in and say, vague, is like,
are you busy?
To get down the dial of it, and the reason why is because I believe that we live in times, and this is what's so sad, We live in times where things are just remarkably magic in these days. We have, and I call this the new cover-up, by the way. I call this the new UFO cover-up. The new UFO cover-up is not coming from any MIDs or any government or any organization or anything like that. The new UFO cover-up is coming from idiots who think they're going to get a lot of hits on their Facebook and on their YouTube page, but they decide to say the UFO sighting with CGI or Photoshop. And this is where it's difficult, because this is where I step in and I say, we need to take back the unidentified flying object acronym, and we need to say that an unidentified flying object is an unidentified flying object. If it's an alien spacecraft, we say, hey, you know what I think this is? It's an alien piloted spacecraft. We need to be clear. You have some idiot saying, do you believe in UFOs? What do you mean, do I believe in them? Believe is a matter of faith. No, I believe that UFOs or unidentified flying objects are in our skies. If I can't identify what the damn thing is in the sky, right? Now, if you say it's an alien spacecraft, what have you done? You've identified what you're seeing. If you're out there in the field and you look up and you say, wow, that's a beam ship, you've already identified what you're seeing.
IFO.
It's an IFO, exactly. So I think that, and it's my quest, my crusade, to get people to be clearer about what they're seeing and what they're saying about what they're seeing in the sky. So if you are looking at something and it is odd, it is weird, it looks like something out of this world, and you're confident that what you're seeing is an identified spacecraft, you say an alien spacecraft, then please, you know, do it. That's how it works. Do you want to say something? Oh, thank you. Somebody probably did it. That's none. So that's how I feel, because more or less you're running into people now that have such preconceived notions and ideas about what people's UFOs are and what they do. And even when it's on the news, you ever notice that, you know, what the 80s called, and your news report is so 80s, you have people on the news going, we saw a UFO today over Washington State. And they start playing the X-Files theme, like going, what could this be? Let's go to the scientists just down the block.
It's a meteor, I think.
Okay, did you get off your fat butt and figure out if it's a meteor or something else? Everybody says it's a UFO. Some sort of intelligent spacecraft being piloted.
No, I just think it's a meteor, that's right there.
And then they come back and you hear the X-Files theme again, and a bunch of these people go, the truth is out there. And keep on laughing. You're like, going, you know what, like I said, the 80s calls and your newscast can be bought by this. It's different now. And the mainstream media can't keep up with how difficult it's become. We are smarter than that. We know what we see, and we know what's happening. And we don't need people to step in and ruin it for everybody else. We need to be critical, and we need to point out when a hoax is a hoax and when something real. And that's why I want everybody to come out to this place, because you cannot deny what you're experiencing here. You know, we went into, this is how far we wanted to disprove what we were seeing here. My crew last year brought me a software to where you could put in a computer that was monitoring the sky, okay? And every time we looked up and saw one of those light ships, we would say, okay, check the sky now. What's up there? What do they say is up there? And you see the thing going overhead, nothing listed. You know, it just said unknown. And then every once in a while, a satellite would fly over, okay? And what we do is we just say, oh, that's one of the known satellites for you to program. And I tell you, for every three satellites we saw in the sky, according to the program, there were 9 unidentified lights in the sky flying over the frame. That's pretty damn good. So, you know, when you're looking up there, you need to think, always remember, we did the test. We did the listen test. There's something happening above the skies here at Mount Adams. What's there?
Yeah, I heard them take it as well. They came out and they brought Jay Tracker and they have them above both sides. And Chip Conkey, their psychic, and I both, they kept us totally separate for the show. And they asked me, well, when do you think the ships are going to be coming? And I said, 10 o'clock in the east. I said, have your cameras ready and aiming in that direction. And so they went and asked Chip Crawford the same thing. They said, well, what do you think? He said, 10 o'clock. And he'll be here at 10 o'clock. But he didn't really give the Easter egg, but he did get the same information, 10 o'clock. And they said, well, what do you think is going on here? And he goes, there's communication happening here. He says, with what? And he says, them. He says, who's them? And he says, ET. And so they brought him here totally cold. They didn't tell him where he was going, anything. And he started bringing out all this information, which was pretty amazing. But what I mentioned is that the ship did come in at 10 o'clock. It was in the east. It was a treetop level. It powered up and flew down around the mountain and put on quite a display. So we've done this redundantly. We've told people exactly when and where the ship would be coming from. They had their cameras rolling, and they got the footage, which shows very clearly that there is contact happening. There is pre-knowledge of when these ships are going to be here and where they're going to appear. I mean, it goes much deeper than that, but that's another show. But one thing about that is, too, is that we've had Jay Leno came out here, and he got some amazing footage of ships going right towards each other and then stopping and reversing, going back the other way, maybe riding a turn. Amazing footage. And it didn't air. It never aired. He canned it. Because they came up and kind of made a spoof out of it, and it turned out to be real. And so they didn't know what to do with it after that. They said, what are you doing? It's real. And Fox News came up here, Sean Hannity, a couple people come up here. And I give them this footage. This is undeniable. These massive ships, treetop level, powering up, pre-knowledge, you know, when they're coming, film, you know, cameras rolling. And they show a little light up in the sky, you know, zipping across, like somebody sanitizes it every time. And so I watched this over and over again. And then they bring their debunker on. And the last time I debunked the debunker, because I've been doing this for a while. But, you know, I told them, I said, we're using their data. We're using JTRAKER and their data to prove these are not satellites. These are unknown. And so I said, these things are landing on the mountain, morphing into three different ships, taking off, grabbing jets, chasing them. They're making right-hand turns, all these things. And so they bring their debunker and he goes, that's the space station. No. And so James saw the Omni Planetarium and I think it's Steve something, right? Or something, I can't remember his name. It's from NASA. They bring him on every time and he goes, they're just seeing nothing more than satellites. And I'm waiting for the reporter to go, well, wait a second. This thing is on the mountain. This thing landed on the mountain. It's morphing into four. And back to one again, and it's taking off, and it's a jet chasing it. How can that be the space shuttle or a satellite? And the reporters never ask that question. They never do any kind of investigative reporting and ask the tough questions. They just, I guess that's a satellite. And if you say so, because you know, you have the PhD. And we get a lot of PhD people come up here, and I ask them, I say, do they teach UFO in college? They have a UFO program there, and they go, no. And I said, do they teach you anything about who's on the ship, their propulsion systems, their cultures? They teach you anything about UFOs in college? And no. And I said, so where are you coming from? Why are you an expert? No. And they don't have an answer for that. And then they go, well, we want physical proof. And I said, well, most of them are non-physical. And you know that there's 11 dimensions out there that are non-physical. Why are you demanding physical proof for non-physical events that people are experiencing and that they need some as well? But we have to get away from this expert, these other programs, and start moving into something else because it's just not working. And that's what ESET is all about. It's about personal experience. And that's why I want people to come and have their own experience. And like Danny Dyer said when he came up here, he said, I did it. I saw a UFO. He said, nobody can take that away from me. It's not a meteor. It's not a satellite. He said, you skeptics out there, you know, he said, there's no way you're going to take this from me. This is my own experience. Well, that's what he said it's all about, is having your own experience.
How many miles in the mountains on your direct north?
13 miles.
Okay, 13 miles direct north. Now, when you're looking at the mountain, you see that light, the big bright light that's on the mountain that sometimes takes off, sometimes moves. That has to be a lot of candle power to get that light 13 miles to see it.
Right.
That's a pretty heavy duty candle power. Now, I don't know how we can measure the candle power of the lights that are out there, but that's the main thing. When you can, I mean, no headlight is 13 miles away on a mountain you can't get up there by car is going to be shown there. And in fact, it wouldn't be that bright. So what are we seeing when we're looking at the mountain with candlelight power as bright as it is? I have no idea. I mean, does anybody have any idea about candlelight power or candle power to a little light?
Well, we think that a 7-man and a 3-man candle light up there on the mountain. And we try to, you know, I mean, you could even see it. You had to get it just right and just flicker. And if you look on the box, it says, can be seen up to 3 miles away.
Right.
You know, this is 13 miles away. And these
what was the candle light power then?
There's 7 million and 3
million. 7 million candle power and light. You can only see for 3 miles. This is 13, right?
Yeah, 13 miles. And then they also too is that the distance that light is taking up on the mountain, the very size of that light is just enormous. And there's probably a way of calculating the candle power that it would take. And so the other thing is, this is all lunar affair. You cannot have a vehicle in there any way whatsoever. It's you know, those are campers, you know, those are campfires. I mean, it's really moving.
Well, not even that, but a campfire, we see 13 miles away. I don't think so, especially something as small as a campfire. Imagine how small a campfire looks from 13 miles away. I wish I knew somebody who knew how to calculate that candle power. That's amazing, candle power, for that light to be bright and large enough to be seen from that mountain, to take up that much space on the mountain.
Yeah, we've seen almost a quarter mile. If we look at the distance between these trees, they're little tiny pinheads, the trees that far away, and the binoculars that's really small. And then if you take these trees, and some of these trees are 200 feet tall, turn them over on their sides, you can see like 4 or 5 trees easily, the width of these lights up there. But it's a massive light. It's not a spotlight, it's not a campus headlight. It's something much, much bigger than that.
And I'm just thinking about the same thing. If you're putting trees side by side, you'd be seeing something with, take about the width of 5 or 6 trees that light, or maybe more.
Yeah.
But you're seeing them there in order for you to see it, and it has to be bright. More than 7 million, according to what he's saying. He's like, what? So what, 7 million times, what did you say, 7 million times 10?
Yeah.
Is that what it probably would be? So you're looking at 3 times 10 with a mileage. So yeah, just add that together.
We have footage of the door actually opening. There's a door that opens on the mountain, and the Native Americans know about it. It's been there more, but we have footage of this door open, and I showed that to a lot of people here on the other night. But this door actually opens, objects come out of that door, and we see ships come out of it, these stones that look like giant atoms come out of this thing to check it out, and kind of flying right out of the door and fly right over the ranch. The weirdest one we have is on there here, get over at one of our videos, is a beam, a light beam walking out of that door when it opens. And just by the perspective, it had to be over 200 feet tall, a light beam. And he had robes on, a sash, and you could see his arms moving as he was walking towards it. And then we're watching it through the Sony IG, it's infrared. So we could see him through infrared, but we couldn't see him with our regular eyes. But that night, everybody was just tired and tired. There was a presence that night that came to the ranch that just lit everybody up. And it was tangible. And we could feel that there's a very, very, you know, very advanced spiritual being there that was, his energy was present at the ranch that night.
And as I said before, the first time I was here, I had seen something on the mountain, sent out a strange frequency that my ears didn't pick. It was kind of a very high-pitched, low type of thing. I felt the vibration in my body when it happened. And then when we put on video and watched the library over there, it was even worse. The sound came through, and I couldn't take it down. So it was running on low impulse, or whatever it was. And then I wasn't any farther than just outside the perimeter of this facility and saw a triangle land in a field out there. And it just came down and it raised up like a Harrier and then shot up. Shot right up into the sky. Happened so fast that it just completely went up and flipped out. And I've never seen anything like that before in my life. And yeah. I saw that here.
You know what I'd like to do too is that we had one person come up, but I'd like to get a feminine perspective on it. Is there any women that were out the past couple nights that saw the ship? And I'd love to get your perspective on it. And don't be afraid, come on up. It's important to get the feminine perspective on what's happening.
Well, I was skeptical of a few things in the sky in San Diego one time, and then I saw something when I was younger. Never have I seen so many things all in one night. Just looking, if you just look at the mountains, just the amount of light that you saw, there's no way somebody's standing up there with a light or grabbing and driving. How are they going to get from place to place that fast? And just didn't register, and then I look up and I hear James talking, he's sitting in front of me, and he goes, okay, they're going to be coming. Everybody look over in this direction. I'm thinking, how do they know they're coming? Well, obviously, they're communicating. Sure enough, he's sitting there, and he goes, okay, they're coming out of the right behind us. We all turn around, here comes a whole bunch more on the way. Totally amazing, totally awesome. I've never seen anything or so much of this all in one place. You can feel the energy here from it.
That's me. How did it feel?
Overwhelming at first. happy, excited. Right now I even have some folks just talking about it. Just after a while of watching it, which, like I said, I have only seen one at a time, and he flips out, I find myself kind of almost exhausted from how much excitement that I had. And I said, okay, I'm going to go to bed. And then I went back to the tent, and then I hear somebody scream, oh my God, what the heck is that? And I'm thinking, man, I missed that one. Instantly wide awake, I wanted to run back out. Just the overwhelming happiness of the whole thing is such a good energy. Amazing.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, Kristen.
Yeah, thank you, Ryan and Daniel. It's interesting. What's really important is there's a giving beginning to come, especially when the play is commit. And their ships have a pinkish tint to them, like a pinkish orange tint. You can definitely tell them from the satellite by the tint of the color. And also, too, people realize when the sun is way down, it's really late at night, these objects are in the Earth's shadow. These are self-illuminated objects. They aren't reflecting light. There's no light to reflect. So it's very important to realize if these things are self-illuminated objects and they're in your shadow, these are not satellites. And so you can't really say everything you see up there that's flying around is a satellite, especially late in the evening, especially in the heat, early in the evening, because these have no reflective light to send back to you. So there's a lot of things we have to study about satellites to actually get an educated stands on these, and when I see people come out and go, that's another satellite. I've seen that before. I go, well, yeah, if you look at heaven above and read the section on visible satellites, how many visible satellites are in this area, and there are lots of satellites. And I go, well, have you really studied, and I just go on further, where is the light coming from this late at night during your shadow? And not as a public, no matter what you tell them, they're going to say, oh, that's a public. I've seen this before. I'm an expert. And I just go, oh my God, it's like, well, you get that out here. And usually the other guests here, want to get more of the head of the shell and bury it. And so I have to kind of, okay, just let them have their satellite, and it's a satellite for them. And they can go home and save themselves satellite, and I'm really fine with that. But it's kind of interesting that we do have people like that come out here and they're just so locked into what they know and they can't embrace anything outside the box. And that's okay. That's where they're at.
And, you know, I just say, you know, thank you for that open way of ignorance. Have a nice day. And I'm telling you, I'll see you over there.
Only to hear the words, you lost my vision, so I didn't know you were having one. That's how it is here. It's really a spiritual, wonderful experience. Because of all the, I mean, my friend Roger was telling me, this is hilarious. He went off the path a little bit out in the middle of the field. And he said he could feel something stinging him. And we had him on night vision. Little winged creatures, they weren't bugs. They looked like little winged humans. We're like poking at it. And I said, are those fairies? And James goes,
Yeah.
And it's, oh boy.
Yeah,
you almost yeah. I mean, I've never in my life seen fairies or a fairy folk. And apparently they're here.
They have amazing photographs of the flying through the air. One has a gown on and a crystal in her hand. And it's undeniable. She's flying through the air. We have another photograph of one with a wand in her hand, and she's above the group. And we have a lot of photos. And my favorite experience here with this guy, and you know, I can say redneck. I was a redneck student at one time. But this guy's a pretty redneck guy, and straight out of needles. And he opens up his tent, and this fairy comes right into the cave. And he just freaks him out. And he says, fairy, he goes, what am I going to do with that? I can't talk about this. You know, and there's a fairy. He goes, I can't talk about fairies. You know, and he just like turned it upside down. And we had a psychologist here facing nothing. And this fairy came right in her face and just sat there and hovered. And she had a friend with her and took off. And she goes, what am I going to do with that? And she goes, I medicate people, you know, for when they tell me these stories. How am I going to tell these stories? And I said, I think you need to stop medicating people.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, you come here and you walk away. Like I said on my Facebook story, when I saw Facebook here, I was so disappointed. I was disappointed because I couldn't tell anybody to do it. But I know what I saw. I know what I experienced. And I know that everybody else is probably seeing the same thing. The guy had the creepy hair, kind of a pink, brownish hair. First, I thought it was Robert Plant from Led Zeppelin, the Golden God. I was waiting for Stairway to Heaven to start playing. I was ready to leave the planet. It looked like some guy with really super long hair. And I stopped and I realized I'm looking at Bigfoot. You know, your brain's trying to scramble to figure out what you're looking at. I don't know. For those of I always tell my audience when I'm talking about the paranormal, I go, sometimes the paranormal is very, very boring. And I said, why do you say that? I said, well, I'll tell you why. Because you're sitting in a haunted house and you're waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. It's like catching a fish. You're waiting for the fish. And the fish you hope will come. And sometimes they just don't come. And they say to me, well, then why do you do it? Because somebody goes. Because they have a haunted house. And so you go in and you want to take, you know, you want to take the word for it. You're in there and you're waiting. See, my thing is that if I go to a haunted house, I'm waiting and I wait and I wait. I don't discredit it. I say, give me another night. I want to come back and take a look at that again. And then you wait, and all of a sudden something happens. You're like, whoa, 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 she does, whoa, whoa. And then he's looking, he's always in the corner of your eye, whoa, or whoa. You're looking around, and that's the way it is. And you're saying, well, did I really see that? You always say, did I really see that? I don't know. Could have been blind in the park. And you start reasoning with yourself what it's not. That can't be a ghost. What I saw was somebody taking a picture across the street with a flash camera some 25 miles away. Yeah, I think that's what my brain's telling me. But then you stop and you say, wait a minute. I just saw something really remarkable. I saw something spectacular. Here, you don't have to do that. That's the fun part. You don't have to do that. You're like sitting there going, whoa. It's just constant, whoa, 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 whoa. That's all it is. Or, what the heck is that? And that's what happened last night. For those of you that don't know. She's right. She was in her tent. She heard that. I was in my room. It's some 500 feet away, and I heard it.
Yeah.
So something exploded in the sky last night, or it better have been fireworks or something that exploded, because it was remarkable. It was flashing, actually, and Rhonda was telling me all about it. She was the woman that screamed that. It was some flash. I saw the flashing, too, and I had never seen anything like that here at the ranch before. It looked like something was taking our picture in the sky. And it was amazing. I never seen anything like that before. And we did see a really good flare-up last night, really good glowing flare-up. But that flashing thing I had never seen before. It's like somebody wanted to get our picture. Some cosmic selfie.
They're trying to prove humans exist. You know?
Yeah.
They come to the Earth and they see what we do to our planet and each other, and they come back to pitch it and tell the story, and everybody goes, nah. That's not real.
No, they're not real. So, you know what they do? They take pictures of us down here on Earth and then the baby alien goes, crazy.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you get someone wake up and go, there they are, 13. Why do you see
them? Yeah, they got it. I always wonder about that because I don't believe in ETs, and I said, well, you know, how big is it? Once you have your 50, he's going to believe in you. You know, it's like, you know, it doesn't matter. It's all relative. And you know, we are the ETs we've been looking for. And we're looking for the stars. We should just be looking in the mirror. The Earth's been colonized again and again. And we all are a big cosmic suit, you know, DNA from the star nation. And so it's time to stop putting them so far away and start accepting them as the greater family of man. And start, you know, asking them for a little help to help turn this planet around, because that's what they're waiting for, the way for us to initiate this journey now. We're at the end of the hour, and unfortunately we've got to sign off, but let's give everybody a big hand for Ryan Lewis for coming on the show.
Thank you to all. Thank
you. And we've been doing the Radio signing off, so we're going to have a good evening.